Okay. I will pray real quick, and then we will get started. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for just putting up with us as we seem to fail you every day, and yet you're so gracious and so loving and just more than we could ever fathom, Lord. And just pray for this time. Pray you set me aside. Lord, you just speak through me just with the teaching, this new study that we're going to start. I'm just really excited for it. This is just something that you've really laid on my heart personally and growing through some things. And I just have this opportunity to express that to just men of the church, Lord. Just thank you for this time and we love you. Amen. Amen. So, as you just heard, we are going to start a new study to finish out the year. So, we've been doing this Man Up series. We started it last year. And it's just kind of been every month we just get together like this and we have breakfast and then there's like a devotional or a teaching. That's kind of what the series has been about. Just with everything in my life the last few months, God's really laid this series, like an actual series or a study, especially after the Vision Conference on how we can be prepared. And He gives us the tools to be prepared, but we just have to utilize them. And we have to use them to just glorify His kingdom in Him. And so this study is really, I'm really excited for it. Just the things that He's shown me the last couple of weeks, I've had a chance to really, a lot of drive time. My job consists of driving a lot. So I've had a lot of chances to listen to a lot of sermons and just get, you know, as much perspective and different angles from different things. And it's just been really great for me personally. So I pray that it, you know, that it is good for you as it has been for me. Just doing this series has been really good to study because, you know, as you would know, when you go to teach something, you go to study it, well, it starts to come out in your life. And so it's been really good just over the last couple of years for my family to be a part of this. And so I want to say thank you guys for allowing me to stand up here and babble on for an hour and you guys eat breakfast and stuff. And it's just been really great. And I'm really excited to see what this holds. So, the reason I said we have 7 months because technically there's 9 months, but two of those months, you know, in September, Grace and Truth is coming here. And then in November, we go out there. I believe that is the order. So those 2 months, obviously we won't be doing this, but, or this study. So it gives us 7 months. Well, it just happens to be that, in Ephesians 6, there's 6 pieces of armor that we can put on. And so I'm really excited for this. Like I said, it's been just studying out the basics. It's not even getting into the study. It's just been fantastic. So one thing I do want to say before getting started in this study is don't change the story to fit your life. Change your life to fit the story. So after that conference was, and he brought up the story of Peter. That's what I was actually going to teach on because that was put on my heart, you know, a couple weeks before the conference, and I was just really pumped up to just implement that, you know, the boat, the water, and then the storm. You know, that's a great teaching lesson because that's what we do. We get comfortable in the boat and then we don't want to step out. We don't want to grow. And then when we do grow, we look at the storm and we get back in the boat. And so that's what I was going to teach on, but God really showed me something different. So during that time that I was studying for that and coming up with a teaching for that, I noticed that I started to kind of change that story a little bit to fit where I was in life. And John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I'm not talking about changing or physically changing Scripture. I'm talking the context around it, what you read. You know, that example, the story of Peter, you change the context, you don't change the Scripture, obviously. It's KJV, but you change the context around it to fit what you have going on. And that is detrimental. Bible study 101 tells us to remember 4 things as we study. Literal meaning, what it says exactly and how it says it. Historical meaning, understanding the time that the story took place. The grammar, which is understanding the verse before and the verse after. It's also known as context. And then synthesis. I said that wrong. So synthesis is comparing Scripture with Scripture. There's always Scripture to Scripture. If, like, my Bible actually has little Scripture references that pertains to that said verse. So you're able to, you know, read the verse and you just don't understand what's going on. You're able to compare scripture to scripture with that. You're able to find somewhere else in the Bible that it says something alike or gives you more context to what you're doing. So those four things, they have to be established. Because if you just read it and you start changing the story, you're changing what God is trying to grow you in, right? You have to take God's word for what it is. When you start to change the story to fit you, you overlook where you're at and you make it seem like you have nowhere to grow at. You have nowhere to grow. You have no reason to get out of the boat because there's no water to walk on because you are right there. So that's what I want to start with as we go through this study, is to not change the story to fit your life, but change your life to fit the story. So through the next 7 months and even after that, I hope you carry that on, because it was really convicting to me. As, you know, we've been here 8 years, God's grown us in a lot of things, and for me to randomly start changing the story and the context, it really was convicting. Because it got to a point of, it wasn't like blatantly, you know, I'm just not going to do this. It was just little things. It's just, that's where it starts. And it was really good for God to show me that, because I needed it. I needed to know that there's always room to grow. So with that being said, flip your Bibles over to Ephesians 6. We're going to start in chapter 10. So the armor is obviously, if you look at different places and people that teach it, it's mostly to kids. You want to teach them while they're young. You want to teach them to have armor for when they go to school, for when they do these things, because they're vulnerable. Well, I mean, we're just as vulnerable as adult men or women, not just men, but saints. We're all vulnerable as well. But a lot of the teachings that I heard were to the youth or to the E-Wing, like Mitch. Mitch does a great job. Mitch and Jody do a great job of teaching the armor over in the E-Wing to the kids. Kings might have been last year. I forgot to bring it today, but there's a little plaque, not a plaque, but a little challenge coin that has the armor laid out that they gave to the kids to have in their pocket, to have on them at all times, because it's great to know how you can be protected. You know, as a father of five, I want my kids to always be protected. To me, it's my job to protect them physically and spiritually. But when they look at that coin, they know who can protect them more than me. And so this study really means a lot in that aspect as a father to my kids. Because it's not just me that's trying to teach them that. It's also the Mitch and Jody over in the E-Wing and all the teachers over there. It's the church investing the armor into my children. And that's it's a huge blessing. It's a huge sigh of relief for them to know who can spiritually protect them as I physically protect them. So we're going to start in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. It says, finally, my brethren, by the way, this is Paul for context. I just said that. So Paul is teaching to a church in Ephesus. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In verse 18 it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then it says, verse 19, it says, and for me the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So once again, that is Paul talking to Ephesus. And the verses, so every month from here on until the end of the year, until this series is over, I want to take one piece of armor and to really study out what it means to put that armor on. Like, we can read it, and obviously we have a mental picture physically of armor being put on, like the Romans or the Spartans, or, you know, just whoever, the military today, they put on armor. I have to put on a form of armor when I go to work. It's physical armor. But we want to see the difference between the physical armor and the spiritual armor. What's it mean to spiritually put on these pieces to be protected? And why they're so important for Paul to tell Ephesus about. What did they have going on that they needed to be spiritually guarded and protected? But today I want to concentrate on verse 18, because to me, verse 18 through 20 are vital verses. So I want to concentrate on these three verses today. And then once again, every month we'll hit a different piece of armor. So I pray that you guys are here for it. And that's why I want to bring, that's why I want to start in praying always in verse 18. Because this is a vital time with the way the world is going today. Not even if you're not raising kids, but just to live in this place, to go somewhere, to do anything, you see the pure evil and distractions that are coming about in our schools, especially in our schools. I have a sixth grader and I have a first grader. And the stuff that the first grader comes home with, I wouldn't have learned in my day in sixth grade. And it's just all over the place, even with the teachers. This world, nobody's protected. Nobody at all. A newborn baby in the mom's womb, you know, that's about as much protection as you get just from this world physically. But spiritually, there's no way to avoid it anywhere you go. And so it's our job as men of the church to be prepared and to prepare our homes and to prepare our families. And if you're not married or with kids, you still have a duty. You have to be prepared for anything. And so the armor is truly a protection for everything in the world, the military. I don't know. I was not in the military. I was going to go on the Marines, and the day I did everything, besides get on the bus. I think that was a God thing to keep me off that bus, because I was gung ho. I was ready to go. I think I was 19 or 20 and I was just ready to go. I was ready to go to the Marines. That was challenging. Of course, I was in better shape back then. So I was really accepted to take the challenge of the Marines, and I had nothing holding me back. But some reason I just never showed up. I don't remember why, but I never showed up to the bus. But you look at the military men today, they wear bulletproof vests, they wear helmets, they wear the shoes to walk or run. So the physical part of armor is applied today. My job, I have to wear a hard hat. My PPE is what they call it. I can't remember what that stands for. There you go. So we just call it PPE because we're too lazy to say it all out. But I have to wear a hard hat. I have to wear a vest. I have to wear jeans and I have to wear boots to protect my body from, you know, rocks and stuff, because that's what I do. It's my job, works in a quarry. So we, like I said before, praying is where it all starts. That's a vital point of this armor, even though, you know, it doesn't, obviously it's not a physical piece, but it's us physically doing it. It's us taking the time to do it. And so we're going to look at today why Paul happens to mention it in Ephesians after he lists the physical parts of armor. It says in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Perseverance means to be persistent in doing something despite the difficulty or delay for the achieving process. Supplication, which you see twice in this one verse, means the action of asking or begging for something earnest or humbly. Flip over to 1 Timothy, if you would. Chapter 2. First Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, there's the word again, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. How many people in here truly pray for that. It says authority. So obviously that's everybody in authority. That's the president, no matter how bad or how much you love him or don't love him. I had this conversation with a coworker yesterday. No matter how much you love him, that's who God put in place. The best you can do is pray for him. Even though you don't agree with things, I'm not political, so I don't know any aspect of it. I have no opinion of it because I don't do politics. But the least I can do is pray for him. He's got enough going on with people in the world that are bashing him or trying to do all this, and doesn't matter. That's who God put in authority. That's who God led into office for a purpose. We don't know what that purpose is. The least you can do is just pray for him. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I say this about every month because this verse is key to praying for one another. You know, like I said, Paul in verse 18 states to pray for all saints, not just yourself, not just the brother sitting next to you, not just your wife, not just your house. Pray for all saints. And that's what this says right here. The effectual fervent prayer, which fervent means to have or display a passionate intensity. So we're supposed to passionately and effectually pray for each other. That's what we're supposed to do. Roll over to Ecclesiastes. Flip, not roll. I mean, you can roll if you want to, but
yeah.
Flip over to Ecclesiastes. This is another verse of prayer that I always go to. And if you were here 2 years ago, you heard Mike Blake get up on stage for our vision conference and really expound on these verses. And it was just, that's really when my eyes opened up to how important it is to just pray. And it's the easiest thing to do, but we make it the hardest thing to do. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? So, of course, that sounds weird when you refer that to helping a brother out, right? Two lie together. But if you really go back and listen to Mike Blake's illustration, you can't ever top that. Because, you know, as pastors or missionaries, it goes through a season of cold where they feel like they're alone. So, you know, God put somebody in their life to come in, warm them up, a phone call or whatever. It's not physical, it's spiritual. We're to warm each other up when it gets cold. When our lives hit a point where we don't know how to handle a situation or what to do, you know, where's God directing me? Are you sure he said this? Clarity. Two are always better than one. You know, confess your faults. Confess what you have going on one to another, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Always have like a battle buddy, as the military would call it, right? They still call it that? A battle buddy or an accountability partner. Somebody that you're not only, like a discipleship's a great example. Our church has what we call discipleship. It's where you personally sit one-on-one with people and you go through what we, I don't like the word, but we call them lessons. And you just invest your heart one to another. And we have that for that purpose, to grow together, to pour our soul into that said person that we're discipling. I'm discipling Larry, and our relationship over the last year or a year and a half has really grown closer together. We're serving together. We're discipling together. We're digging in the Word together. We're making it Christ-centered for our friendship and our relationship. That's not a friendship. That's a brotherhood. That way, if I have something going on or Larry has something going on, guess who he can call? And I hope it's me. I hope the first thought is me. Same for flip side for me. If I have something going on, I know somebody immediately that I can call.
You know, my phone's always on.
Yeah, it's just an investment.
4 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that goes for any of them.
Yes. But Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. You got to have that battle buddy. So we see that, flip back over to Ephesians chapter 6.
For those of you with scrolls, we're
going to
roll over there.
Yeah, roll over there. Slang at its finest. So we covered verse 18 and the importance of prayer. But now we want to really look at verse 19 and 20 because sometimes we have, I wouldn't say an issue is the word, but sometimes we are a little prideful as men. Sometimes we have a hard time just explaining to somebody what's going on. There's a lot of things in my life personally that need a lot of prayer. And they're just trying to figure out a way to just grab somebody and say, hey, this is what I got going on. You know, it's something we find it difficult. And it's not a pride thing, but it's just some things you just, and I get it, some things, you know, you just want to kind of keep to yourself. But once again, two are better than one. So whatever you have going on, praying for it for yourself. You know, Brian stands up there every Wednesday and goes through a prayer list. Brianna sends out a prayer list every week to know how to pray for the church, all the military, all the cancer patients, everything that's going on with this church body. They do that for a reason, because two are better than one. You get everybody praying for it. Now, I'm not saying go out and gossip about this and that. I'm not saying that whatsoever. Please do not do that, because that's going to turn up bad. Don't just call somebody and say, I need prayer for this, but I really want to gossip about it. Don't do that. Make it more personable. Don't, you know what I mean? Unless something's really urgent going on, that's fine, but it's not a time for gossip. This is a time to really take it to the Lord, because that doesn't cost us anything but a little bit of time. So verse 19 and 20 here, you see, or verse 18 tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But then verse 19 and 20 says, and for me, this is Paul speaking, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So not only is Paul telling us to pray for all saints, but praying always for all saints. And then he's like, you know what? To top it off, here's some prayer requests for me. Here's how you can pray for me. So there, now he is entrusting the people of Ephesus to carry that responsibility of praying for him, not just to hear the word, but how to pray for him. This is what he needs prayer for. Romans, flip over to Romans chapter 15, please. And then we're going to see verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. Give you a second to flip. Sorry for the people listening on the recording. I just slurped my coffee, so you'll hear that. Romans 15, verse 30, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, and that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Once again, this is Paul. Again, verse 31, it says, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And then verse 32 says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Those are prayer requests. We see Paul asking for prayer on these specific things. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. Really easy verse to remember. Other than Jesus wept, this is another easy verse. It says, brethren, pray for us. That's all he says. Because that's all it takes. Flip over to Matthew. We are going to do a little bit of flipping towards the end of this here. So Matthew chapter 21. If I could get there, that'd be great. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22, it says, Jesus, oh, so a little context, Jesus went through and just flipped these temples in Matthew 21. He went into the, did I say temples? I'm sorry, tables. He went into the temple to flip the tables. That's what I meant to say. He didn't flip temples, not yet. So, yeah, he went into the temple to flip the tables, and then now they're talking about the barren fig tree with his disciples. Verse 21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, talking to his disciples, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, or to the fig tree, but also if ye shall unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And then verse 22, and in all things, whosoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So when you reach out to someone, or even you're praying yourself, And you're just praying along. You're just praying along. So last night, I was praying. I pray with my three daughters because they're in the same room. I have two twins in a bunk bed, and then I have my oldest daughter who is 5 in a separate bed, and they sleep in the same room. So every night, I put them to bed for 2 hours because that's how long it takes. Putting them to bed for 2 hours, but I do get a chance to pray with them, to show them not just how to pray, but what to pray for. And eventually, when you're praying so much and praying so much, guess what? It's a routine. You're just continuously praying, continuously praying. So last night we went in there and we prayed for mom, dad, brothers, sisters, and our friends. And then, you know, that is our prayer at the moment because it doesn't need to be detailed. They just need to know what to pray for and who to pray for. So last night I go in there and I realized that after so long of doing it, my daughters are saying it before I'm saying it. And that's what, you know, I say it and then they follow what I say. They repeat back to me. Well, I'm repeating after them because now it's gotten so routine that I caught on to that. And I said, last night I changed brothers and sisters around. And all three of the girls both said brothers. And I'm like, well, see, we said sisters first. But that's what we do in our prayer life. We continuously pray so much, but it's the things you're praying for that you leave out, you know, you give small detail. Christ knows everything, but he wants us to bring it to him. He knows everything they have going on. He just wants us to come to him. So he knows what you have. But what are you taking to him? You know, if you're sitting in here and just without even raising your hands, how many of you are struggling? Don't raise your hands because you don't have to raise your hands. How many of you are struggling and how many of you have just something personal going on where you just don't know what to do? I can tell you, I raised my hand because that's just everyday life. There's things that God's doing in my life that I don't know where we're going, and we just have to have the faith. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I can't worry about any of that. We just have to keep doing what we're doing, and he'll reveal it to us at some point. But how many of you can really sit in here and say that your life is perfect, that your marriage is perfect, that your kids are perfect, and you have nothing going on? See, if you were to raise your hand there, we would have a big problem, because that means Satan's not attacking you. Satan's not distracting you. Which means what? That means you're not doing something for Christ and his kingdom. So when you start to do things for Christ and his kingdom, Satan's always going to attack you. It means you're always going to have something going on. This life is rough, but guess what? Eternity is rougher. This life here, our vessels here for however many years we get to be here, is rough. This lifestyle is rough. Persecution is rough. Ask Pastor Brian about India. He'll tell you the persecution is rough. But guess what? Eternity is rougher because it's longer. You know, where would you like to spend that eternity? With Christ or not with Christ? That's the choices we have. So, yeah, I will stand here and I will put up with what I have going on here, the toughness that is here for me to enjoy eternity with my wife and my kids. Praying that I can teach them enough when they get old enough to understand what heaven and hell is, to understand how important it is for their eternity, to see my kids one day. That's one thing that's always scared me in my life, is that my kids, you know, Christ will come back or something will happen and I won't see my kids again. And that's just a fear. But that fear drives the investment for me to solely put everything I can into my children so I can see them again. And that's just how it is. Christ gave us that ability to stand here and take a little bit of dirt on our knees and a little bit of toughness in our life to really invest in what's important. So that all starts with prayer. And as you just saw here, 22, it says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. He knows what's going on. Not everybody else does. There's things in this room that nobody knows about each other, and that's great. That's why it's called personal, and not gossip. But Christ knows what's going on. But he wants you to come to him and ask for help. Just like I want you guys and everyone in this church to come to us and ask for help. Because two are better than one. When you think you're fighting alone, you're never alone. Christ is with you. But if you just feel like you're alone, there's always somebody in this church specifically, in this building, to help you and just pray for you. Because that, I could tell you so many testimonies if I had time of how stress-free and peaceable It is to feel Christ lift that weight of and that burden off your shoulders. I can tell you many stories. Even before I was saved, dude, I grew up in an assembly church, but I didn't get saved until I was actually here. But I still prayed, you know, when times would get really rough. That's the only time I ran to God, when I wanted my first child out of wedlock. And then I remember these two instances like completely, because I broke down. We tried to have our first son for many months. And I thought that if Christ, you know, if you didn't bless me with a child, my girlfriend at the time, or fiance, which is my wife now, by the way, she was going to leave me because she wanted kids. And so months and months of just trying and nothing. And I was scared. So that was the one time I remember blatantly just sitting on the bed crying and just praying. I don't know what the plan is, but I don't want her to leave. And the other time I was laying in my bed and I had a really big problem with forgiveness. And I think we had just started discipleship here. So it was within the first couple months of us attending this church for the first time. And I remember laying in bed and all the things that I had going on in my life, I was really a bitter person. And I didn't know it until the subject of that said person I was bitter against came up. And then I realized, man, I am a potty mouth and I am really bitter. That's a terrible combination. So I remember just laying in bed and God at that moment took both of those things away. Just because I broke down. I couldn't do it anymore. I was tired of carrying my own weight around. I was tired of trying to do this on my own. And it just took that moment for God to go, it took you long enough. been sitting here waiting on you. And so that's what we do. We try to do things on our own. But if you don't have to. That's the hard part. When you realize you don't have to, man, does it change things. When you realize that you can just call anybody up or, you know, just on your drive instead of listening to music. That's one thing I've done the last couple of weeks is I used to listen to music because I do a lot of driving. And so, you know, about half my day is driving. And I realized that listening to these sermons and stuff, it plays a whole different role on anything. Instead of just, even though it was like K-Love or some, you know, gospel music, still, when you're constantly hearing sermons and constantly putting that scripture in your heart, something happens and you're like, man, I just heard how to resolve this. But every time, it starts with prayer. Before we start teaching, we pray. Before we eat, we pray. Before we do anything, we pray. It's not just the time of when something's going wrong. So, like I said, Christ here says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. You gotta believe it. You know, once again, going back to the first part where I said that don't change the story to fit your life, change your life to fit the story. Jonah and the whale. That's one of the top stories that people don't believe in the world. If you don't believe that story, you don't believe anything in this book. That's just the way it is. You don't believe one piece of scripture, you don't believe one word in this book, you don't believe the whole book. Just how it is. You have to believe everything. Because it's literal. This is truth. You can't just say, oh, I believe this part. I'm going to live my life by this part, but I don't believe Jonah got eaten up by a whale, which it tells us in Matthew. You know, read the story of Jonah. A dude got eaten up by a whale. Why? Because he was disobedient. And he said no. So how about we don't do that? We learn from Jonah.
Yeah.
So once again, you have to change your life, not the story. Flip over to Colossians, and I will finish up here in a couple minutes. Get there eventually. Colossians chapter 1. Once again, this is Paul. Paul with Timothy, I'm sorry. And the faithful saints and brethren at Colossae. In verse 9 it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10 it says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You really want to increase in knowledge of God? Read Proverbs. You will gain so much knowledge and wisdom just by simply reading the Proverbs of the day. That's what I do. I like to read a Proverbs of the day before my daily reading. Because it's just full of wisdom. And that's what we have to do. We have to just pray for these things. God, I don't know what you're doing or how you're doing it, but I just simple prayers in detail. Doesn't take long. Flip over to 2 Thessalonians. This will be the last time we flip somewhere.
Here?
No. I'm not sure at all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Once again, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is in, or as it is with you." In verse 2 it says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." We have the chance to just simply pray for God to just release us of what is going on in this world. It's very wicked, but the thing is it's very easy for us to be distracted. We're a distractible mankind. Squirrel. Yeah. Exactly. The movie Up, if you don't know that reference by now, the movie Up is the dog. And the dog is just so distracted. Throw a ball or anything and then it sees a squirrel. It's just a bright light. That's how we say it. That's how it's referenced. That's how we are. We see something that's a little bit more shiny over there. It's like, it's a squirrel moment. It's distracting. And Satan knows that, just like he knows scripture. He knows how to use that against us and does it very, very well. But that's the thing is this world, there's so many things that are distracting that you can lust over, that make our life as men very difficult. And I say that as men, I mean all saints, but as men especially, because we have more responsibilities, and we can go into that kind of a study later, but we have more responsibilities than our wives or even of women. We are the leaders of in the church. We are the leaders of our home. And we, you know, my home is big. It's 7 people. I'm responsible for 7 people. As somebody could be just responsible for 1. That's great. But you will struggle with responsible for yourself as you will for 7 people. It's inevitable. This life is rough, but I'm telling you, this life is worth it. So to wrap it up, we can look at how is a prayer a part of the spiritual armor of God. And I got to think of that. It was like 10:30 last night, and I was wrapping this up. And I'm like, I did all of this. You know, I just kind of just prayed and meditated over scriptures and how, what to say and which ones to pinpoint and everything else. And then I'm like, how does this even pertain to the spiritual armor of God? And then it was, so I did a little bit of research. It all takes. A little bit more praying. And God, what are you trying to show me here and how to pray for these things? So the belt of truth is the first one mentioned. And so how do you, once again, spiritual armor of God, how do you pray for these pieces of armor? What does it mean to, because that's what it starts with. It starts with prayer. This is a vital part of it. Daniel 9:13, it says, "As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth." Truth is where it's at. The breastplate of righteousness. Psalms 143:1. And if you want any of these cross references or any of these verses, just let me know and I can give them to you. But Psalms 143:1, it says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications." Once again, there's that word. "In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." The feet shod of peace. Philippians 4:6-7, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Are you seeing something here? Are you seeing a repetitive word that keeps coming up? Which I didn't even realize that until I was done last night. I was kind of reading over everything. I'm like, man, God, you are good. Because I didn't ever catch that word was in so many verses. It said, sorry, that was a squirrel moment. See? Distraction. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's peace. You can't have peace without Christ. The shield of faith, Matthew 21:22, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." And then the helmet of salvation, it says, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, says Acts 6:4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So to wrap this up, right there you see how we can pray for each part of this armor. And as we do this study, I pray that you guys pray. I pray you pray that for each piece. You know, we're going to start with the helmet of salvation because that's where it starts. As you just saw in here, 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's where it starts. You put your helmet on first. That's the most viable part of your body. You get hit in your head hard enough, controls everything. Your brain controls everything. You got to protect it. So right now, for the next month, until we meet next month, just pray. How can I put on the helmet of salvation? How can I do these things? If you're already saved, how can I put on the helmet of protection to just protect me from what's going on in the world? How can I protect the most vital part of my body? Which leads to the next one, which is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. This is how you protect it. Doing it daily, reading it daily, investing in it daily. I lack that too. It's very difficult in my schedule. But when I do it, man, I can't tell you how relieving and peaceable, I don't even know that's how you say it, how much peace that brings to my life and to my home. How much better my kids behave, how much stress my wife doesn't have on her shoulders. It's just simple praying and reading. So that's what I want you guys to do. That's kind of a homework assignment, is just to pray, because that's where it starts. I pray that you are here for every piece of this armor, but I'm really excited for this study because he gives it to us to protect us. Like, we're to protect our children. You know, they do a good job of teaching that over there. But once again, it's just as vital for us as it is for them. We're just as vulnerable. We're just as easily distracted. And so the armor is truly there to help protect us. And so I just want to take this time for the next 5 minutes or so. And if you have any prayer requests, like this is the great time to make those known. If you don't want to, that's great. I'm not, you know, please, don't want to pressure anybody. If you don't want to say it, you don't want to say it. Pull me aside afterwards. You're more than welcome. We can talk about it and pray over it. But if there's anything that's going on, now I do have one actually. I'll start it off. A friend of ours that we grew up with, we grew up with her daughters. They were our next door neighbors. And we lived over in Cimarron Trails. And if you're familiar with the old military base, they're all connected together. Two, right? Because two are better than one. And so, I'm gonna stop recording.